If you haven't guessed already, we are now joined in the media center by our race-winning driver, Clint Boyer.
Can you believe it? Say that again. One more time.
Race-winning driver, Clint Boyer, driver of the number 14 Haas, 30 years of the Haas VF1 Ford. Sounds good. Second one of the year.
The last time we won, Martinsville, we was in Haas VF1 Ford, and it's such a cool paint scheme, such a cool thing. Very first one is what that stands for, and it's the man. It's the man that makes it happen at Stuart Haas Racing. Obviously, everybody knows what Tony brought to the table at this thing, and Gene is that rock. He is the rock behind all of us that enables us to go out and perform at our best. It's never a question of what does it take, financially or anything else. It's what does it take to win? What does it take to be better? What does it take to find victory lane? Those are the questions that Gene Haas asks, and that's it. He doesn't talk about, well, that was a good top 10 finish. You know, you could be proud of a good run somewhere. Maybe that was, you know, a track you struggle at. Maybe you run fifth or sixth or something. No call. Winning and winning only is what he does in his industry. And it bleeds through to his employees and everybody at Stuart Haas Racing, everybody. And now you see him embarking in his Formula One adventures. I mean, it's just amazing what he's done in motorsports in the last few years.
And your win today makes that 7 of the first 15 races of the season being won by Stuart Haas Racing. So
that's definitely the army. That's the army that Tony and him assembled, orchestrated from Brett Froude and Greg Zipidelli. It's just so much fun to be in this equipment. Last year was a shocker to me. It was frustrating. You get this opportunity, you're thinking, boy, we got him. I'm back on the map. It just didn't happen. Mike and I didn't have that communication down. Our cars weren't really good all the way through. You know, the four car was good, hit and miss here and there. But collectively, all four cars weren't that good. Zipidelli and Brett made some personnel, you know, change people around and put those pieces of the puzzle together differently this year, going into this season. And I mean, it's go, Cat, go. Literally, being with the manufacturer of Ford, being with Roush Yates engines and that horsepower under the hood, it's just a deadly combination. And then you get to race against teammates like Kurt Busch, like Kevin Harvick, and to be back, you know, in the communication side of it, the competition meetings and things like that, the things you talk about now, we're all talking the same language. It's not, I'm loose this week. Well, I don't know. I was kind of tight this week. It's everybody's fighting the same things. And you know, we collectively across the board with all four cars are having those same conversations and getting better and better and better every single week with Stuart Haas. And it showed. 1, 2, 3 was awesome.
And with that, we're going to open it up to questions from the media. If you have a question, please raise your hand, and we will bring you a microphone. We'll start with Reed and then go to Jim.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. Clint, during the struggles last year, did you ever start to doubt yourself at all?
Well, you know, the weird thing is, not really. As good as the four car was running and things like that, you could see, you know, the ingredients. You could see the potential. We just couldn't reach it. And I mean, it was so apparent that potential was there. It's within Booga, it was within Mike, all the guys on our 14 team. They're such a tight-knit group. And that was instilled through Tony. Those were his boys. They're all his buddies. They all hang out together. A great race team. We just didn't unload fast. You know what I mean? We could. We'd be hit, and then we'd be miss, hit. Miss. You know, we just had zero consistency. We've had that consistency this year until last month. And then it was like, hey, whoa, what was that? You know what I mean? Had the stage points, ran well during the race, and just for whatever reason, crazy things had happened. But it's never been a question of commitment with our race team and potential. You know what I mean? And I think that's what gets you through those tough times is when you see the potential and not only see it, you feel it. You know what I mean? You can lie to yourself. You can lie to anybody else. But, success is the only thing that you know, brings that potential to the forefront and bleeds over across the board to everybody in the race team. And once that started to happen this year, it's been so much fun across the board. That's just not on the 14 car. It's on Eric Amarola. It's in Kurt Busch. We're all collecting stage points. We're all doing the things that we take that it takes to be there and compete for a championship at the end. The four car is knocking it out of the park. I mean, one more lap and he'd won another damn race. You know what I mean? I mean, that was a gutsy call. I was so proud of Mike for making that call because that's uncharacteristic for him. You know what I mean? I mean, no pulling no punches or anything else. He's not a gambler. You know what I mean? And he has so many strong suits. He's such a good engineer. And it's such a smart person. He's just, that's how smart he is. He knows not to gamble. Most smart people don't gamble. I don't know. He felt something and he went for it. And somehow I was able to hold off Kevin and, you know, one more lap, I wouldn't have, but that was that call that put us in that situation and won that race for us. So I was so happy for him.
Jim.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. You mentioned competing for a championship. You had a really good, strong year at Richard Childress Racing doing that. You had one really good, strong year at Michael Waltrip Racing doing that. How would you evaluate the situation that you're in now? And does it, after last year, does it feel a little better being able to kind of take advantage of the opportunity that you were given here?
To be able to compete at that level, and that level is a championship caliber team, you've got to be able to unload week in and week out with cars capable of getting the job done. And part of that is you know, most of that is the work that's put in before the week even starts. It's months ahead preparing that car for any given weekend. Then it's the communication leading into the race. Then it's communication through Friday, through qualifying, through Saturday's practice sessions, and collectively putting that all together for Sunday. We're starting to do that. We're starting at that notebook that we all talk about is finally starting to resonate to where you can look at it. Like, I can go back and look at last year and like, all right, I remember that. Now, we're not going to do that. You know, we'll be better there. We got to learn from that mistake. We got to be better there, such, you know, so on and so forth. Those are the things that we're starting to pick up on, you know what I mean? And then as we go through these races, the thing that I love the most about the season is we start going back to these races for the second time in that chase. And that's notebooks even bigger for us because our cars have been unloading fast. Now it's just fine tuning. Now it's not that massive overhaul change in a setup that you got to do going into one of those chase races. Now it's just a fine tune, like this race in particular. You know, you come here, we weren't going to beat the four car, but we were a podium finish car. You've got to be able to capitalize on that, learn a little bit what it takes to go out there and lead those laps to be able to run for a championship. But more importantly, you've got to knock on that door week in and week out. You've got to build that notebook so you can start that chase and run in a top five every single week. That'll put you at the end.
Steve Newman, WINT Radio in Cleveland. Clint, congratulations, first of all. Now, it seems like everybody's got to handle the Ford drivers anyway, the Ford teams on the Ford. Now you've got a new car coming next year. How far are you guys along so you don't have the same teething problems that the Camaro guys, the Chevy guys do?
Well, you know, I think as the series in general is ever evolving, you know, the rule packages and things like that. I mean, this year, you know, we implemented the scanning procedures that we have and things like that. I think that probably caught some of those Chevy teams off guard as they built and designed that car. And who knows what's going to be in front of the Ford. But of course, when you build a car, you learn from what you have. You try to put forth your best effort, your best foot forward into building a new car, that Mustang that's going to be awesome for us, and it'll be better. We all have confidence, as good as we are right now, that we can build that Mustang and be even better.
We're going to go Bob, then Holly, Ray, and then Chase.
Bob Pocker, ESPN. You said you kind of said that you weren't going to beat the four car. So do you feel like you stole one today, or?
Well, I beat him. Make no mistake, I beat him. No, it was. It's just your friend. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the guy that when I came into this sport at RCR and went to the first test, he's the guy that was there. You know, I had no clue what the hell I was doing, and he helped me get my feet underneath of me. I think he knew right off the bat that I was very green. And took me under his wing and helped me out. And is he's the guy right now. He's him and Kyle Busch are the two that are shining the most. And to be able to you know, start at a deficit, try to run that track bar up as far as it'd go, because you know you're going to be tight on two tires, to try to hold on to that thing for as long as you can, praying for the rain, is what it took, you know. But it took that gutsy call from Mike to be able to put me in that situation, and then to try to hold that Grizzly Bear off, because, man, he was coming quick. I don't know. I mean, like I said, yeah, I mean, was he the fastest car today and all weekend long? Absolutely. Does the fastest car always win? No. That's what's cool about this sport. You never know what's going to happen.
Holly Kane?
Thanks. Hey, Clint. Holly Kane, the NASCAR Wire Service. Could you talk about his call? Because Mike was really funny in here. I asked him about making the call for two tires, and he said he felt really good about it at 100%.
And then turned around, threw up.
And then as you came down pit road, 75%, and then when you got in the pit stall. But could you talk about that? And did you help with that call, or do you just let him do that?
When I pulled out and I looked in the mirror, like you do, you know what I mean? It's a competition. It's a race. When you're on pit road, you're even when you're sitting there at a stop, you're looking in the mirror trying to figure out who you're racing with. Are you gonna have room out, you know, things like that. There's nobody coming. There's nobody coming, and he's committed two tires. He already told those guys. I think I have ran over my crew guy, because I'm looking in the mirror trying to think, oh gosh, I got to get out in front of these guys, you know. Surely it's going to be some people take two tires, because he already told me the rain's coming. We're the only person. I am a mile ahead of everybody. When I looked in the mirror, everybody behind me was on four tires. Now you're like, I don't know what you're looking at, but there's an army of people on pit road that saw the same forecast, the same radar, and they took four. But nonetheless, it was a gamble on his part, and like I said, it was uncharacteristic for him. That's part of growing and blossoming as a crew chief and being one of the elite, and he did that today. And I was so happy for him, because that's something that I, in the 2 years we've been together, that I haven't really seen a lot out of, and for various reasons. Some of them make sense and some of them don't. But for him to be able to do that and put ourselves in victory lane was really, really cool to see.
Hey, so did I make the right call?
Lucky ass.
We'll go over here in the left with Ray.
Yeah, this is Roy Akers, Detroit Sports Media. You guys are a fun team, that's for sure. Taking a look, you talk about looking in the book. You know, you're using the book to take notes and looking at past performance and that. Both your wins this year have been in inclement weather. It seems like you and your crew chief, you know, you're crunching the data, but sometimes it comes down to using that data and trusting your instincts on that weather. He said he saw a cloud coming out of, I don't know what's going on, but he said he saw other clouds going on too in the north. He said he knew there wasn't much time left.
Wait a minute, you said I don't know what he saw.
He said he saw the same front.
That's the thing.
Else.
He'll ask you, you know, your opinion in there. You're like, I don't have radar. Radar ain't on my dash. You know what?
How about that, buddy?
Damn it! Those guys right there, they're a lot of fun. This whole team, you said it. God, that sucked. I'm going to be a sticky SOB right now. I'm going. we're going to drink a little bit tonight, by the way. Yes. Yes, that's going to happen. I know you guys are questioning it. It's going to happen tonight. I drink more of Kevin Harvick's sponsors than I'm pretty sure he does. It's a hell of a sponsor. There's nothing better. I have no idea where we went with this, but there's nothing better than having a sponsor like that in Victory Lane to be able to celebrate. That is awesome. But for you, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. He took two tires and won that race for us, and I was super pumped for him. The only thing that bummed me out about today, as soon as I was sitting out there in Victory Lane or on the pit road, you know, you're trying to look out. I knew there was so much water coming on the windshield. But she's trying to see, now once it gets like that, you're trying to look out your side window and see how much rain is actually coming down and are they losing the track. Because I saw it down 3 and 4, it started to get pretty dark. As a leader, you don't want to be that guy that's calling in every single second saying, it's pouring, it's a monsoon, you know, because that doesn't hold any weight. But it really was, you know, and I was just hoping somebody else was saying the same thing. And like I said, when I pulled up out there and I saw how much it was raining, and immediately went to
my little guy, my family, my wife, my daughter Presley. They're not here yet because I sent you know, my pilot back to pick them up. We're all going to the lake and having a fun time and at the lake this week. So I told them they didn't have a place to stay here in Michigan. And I said, hey, make sure that we get to halfway to that second stage before you come up. Otherwise, I don't know where we're going to stay. We got fans. Everybody's in hotel rooms and everything else. You guys are going to be sleeping in the expedition or something. So they held off until it got official, and then they're late getting here. But I think they're here to pick me up, and we're going to celebrate tonight.
Chase.
Clint Chase, Wilhelm, NASCAR.com. What does it mean to you to be able to win a Stewart Haas race and get the 1-2-3 sweep, the first in the team's history?
Well, I think that's the coolest thing about it. You know, you're up there and you're looking in the mirror. Even when I was running second, I said it to myself, gosh, this is a moment. We're running 1-2-3 at a track that's an aero track, that's a horsepower track. It's a demanding racetrack on your equipment. You've got to be able to hit your marks and things like that, but when it comes down to sheer speed, 217 mile an hour, we were talking this weekend. That's fast. That's fast in any motorsport. That's really fast in NASCAR. And then when you're on top and you're lined up and it's 1-2-3 with Kevin and Kurt behind you, it's just awesome, you know. And then to be able to get there and give each other hugs and be happy, truly, genuinely happy for one another. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to push you to another level. You know, working together, that communication, pushing each other each week. It's not just Kevin and Kurt and I and Eric. It's our teams. It's our crew chiefs. It's our pit crews. It's everybody. That raises the bar for everybody involved, and it's cool to see.
We'll stay in the middle.
Clint, Steve Slifka, WTVG Television. You actually just kind of mentioned it, or touched on it, I should say. And I know you don't necessarily want to single anyone out, but Jerry Cook, what did you like about the way he had a hand in, you know, the car setup for this weekend?
Him. You know, we missed him. While we were struggling this last month, that's a common denominator. Yeah, we had that penalty in Dover and missed him for 2 or 3 weeks, and it showed. You know, when you have a team as solid as we have, and you have that missing link for even a day, it showcases the following week. Tight-knit group. They watch each other's back. They hang out one another. That's the thing about these teams. They don't just show up on race day and leave on Monday. They have to be back to the shop. They work together. They eat lunch together. Their families go to dinner together. When they're on the road, they hang out together. They share rooms together. They eat dinner together. These guys are a tight-knit group. And when you lose one of them or somebody's off, it shows. And the last month, you know, or so, while we was through Charlotte and everything else, that was a common denominator, is Jerry wasn't there. So cool to have everybody back and then be able to roll into victory lane, be able to celebrate all their hard work. That's what you're celebrating. All those guys' hard work and everything they put in to not only today but the entire season, their family sacrifices, everything across the board. That's what you're there celebrating.
We have time for one more question for Clint. If there's any other additional ones? Go, Holly.
You lost, Bob. Yeah. You're out. Right. It was just down between slow. You and Holly. You go.
I feel a lot of pressure to ask a good question. But this does put you in good company in terms of having multiple victories. I mean, there's four of you guys like that. Just if you could talk about that. I mean,
yeah.
That's saying a lot.
Of course it does. And it's fun to be in elite company. It's a confidence booster. You know, we're going into Sonoma. I don't want to jinx myself, but it's my favorite racetrack. I love that weekend. It's a vacation for everybody involved. It's a challenging racetrack, and I'm good at it. I'm good at the place. You know what I mean? So you always look forward to going to tracks that you're good at and enjoy that. And we've got this confidence momentum wave going right now, and hopefully we can ride it off into Sonoma and enjoy some success there as well. Should we give Bob one more shot at it? Don't screw this up, Bob. I'm serious. I mean, if it's weak, I may not answer.
All right. Well, Bob Pockris, ESPN.
We know who you got, Almighty.
I don't want
to. We know you work for ESPN.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but it sounds like Booga thought everybody was going to take two tires, so he really wasn't necessarily gambling.
He was wrong. He was drastically wrong on that. And if that is what he told you, I wouldn't have said a word. I'd have said, you damn right I made that call. That was my call, and I want the rates. That's what I'd have come in here and told you.
That's what he said, but he thought others were going to take it. So do you think maybe this
Then when you got in bed tonight and your wife goes, did you really know that nobody else took two tires? No, babe. No way. So, yeah, whether it didn't matter. But he made that call.
Do you think he'll make him gamble some now?
I don't know. Now I'm scared. You got a guy that's never gambled before in his life, and now we're calling the hotline on the back of the card. I mean, that's what you're scared of, but who knows? Maybe it'll work for us.
All right, thank you. I'm leaving.
Congrats on your win.